When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of This Week in History with me, your host, Dan the Viking. Now, this week we are going a little bit out of my comfort zone when we're talking about history. We are going to ancient Japan. Now, this is normally my dad's speciality when we talk about, how do I put it? Non-European or American history. I couldn't think of the right vernacular for it. I don't know a huge amount about this, but I saw a video on it maybe about a month ago, and I thought, do you know what, that sounds really, really interesting. I need to do some more research into it. And I found out that this is a true story, and there is a film with the same name. The film, however, is not a historical film, and it has nothing to do with the events that happen in this story. We're actually talking about the tale of the 47 Ronin. Now, there is a film, like I said, it's a Keanu Reeves film. It's not accurate. None of it depicts anything like this, other than the samurai side to it. But the tale of the 47 Ronin is one of the most famous in Japanese history, and it happened during the Tokugawa. I'm going to apologise again, because there are going to be words here that I don't pronounce perfectly. I'm going to do my best, so bear with me if I do mispronounce anything, and you know how to pronounce it. Feel free to message me the correct pronunciation, because obviously this has been noted and reading, so yeah, bear with me. But this is the Tokugawa era in Japan. The country was ruled by the shogun, or the highest military official in the name of the emperor. Under him were several regional lords called daimos. Each warrior employed a contingent of samurais. The samurais were the warriors for the daimyos in each region. So each region had essentially, to put it into a British perspective, it was like having the king and then the nobles, and each noble had their own army. And the difference with this is these daimyos, their army consisted of samurai soldiers. And obviously, for any of those who know anything about samurais, they were like the elite soldiers at the time. In fact, in Japanese society, only samurais could carry swords. So if you were a foot soldier or an archer, or you were part of the imperial army, you weren't allowed to carry a sword in public. Only samurais were allowed to. All of the military elites were expected to follow the code. It was called the Bushido, or the way of the warrior. This basically meant they had loyalty to their master. And this is very, very important, because they were more loyal to their particular regional daimyo than they were to the shogun or to the Japanese military. And in 1701, the Emperor Higashima sent envoys from his seat to a town called Kyoto. And this was from Edo. So the emperor was in Edo, which is modern day Tokyo, and he sent his envoys to Kyoto on a visit. And the man that he sent was a man called Kira Yoshinaka. That's an important name, so pay attention to it. He served as master of ceremonies. In other words, he was in charge of the ceremonies with the two young daimyos who he was supposed to entertain, for example. One was a man named Asano Naganori of Akko, and Kiyami Seima of Tsumano. They attended the capital with Kira, and they had to do... They basically, every daimyo had to attend Edo for a period of about 6 months every year. And that was to show their faith and show their loyalty and support to the shogun. So they were in the capital from their seat in Kyoto. And to put it into perspective, Kyoto is probably about 400 miles west of Edo or Tokyo. And it's a pretty remote village, but he still had, you know, he was still an important man, but from the country. They were given a lot of tasks to do whilst looking after the emperor's envoys, and Kira was assigned to train the daimyo in court etiquette. So he had to train the two young men, Asano and Kame, in how to behave in court. And that sounds really simple, but it's not. I can put this into a British perspective again. Harry's wife, do you know what, for the life of me, I can't remember her name, Meghan, she didn't even realise she had to curtsy when she met the Queen. So when we talk about court etiquette in Japan, Japan is a very, very particular country at this point. I mean, it's still a bit now, but it was a lot worse then. If you took a sip of your drink in the wrong way, you would be laughed at. If you ate in the wrong order, or everything was done to a real, real strict regime, and you had to get everything correct. And the two young daimyos weren't exactly easy students. They didn't really know exactly what they were doing. Asano and Kame offered gifts to Kira, but the official considered them inadequate and was furious. So he wasn't happy with what they'd given him. He began to treat them both with quite a bit of contempt. He basically made their lives a living hell. Kame was really angry about this. He was humiliated. He wanted to kill him. He was that furious. But Asano said to him, be patient, you know, we'll be sensible. And you've got to be fearful of the fact that this guy's quite high up in court. Kame actually had quite a bit of money, and he paid Kira a large sum of money. The official decided, I'm not going to be that mean to Kame anymore. I'm going to focus all my attention on Asano. And he carried on and carried on and carried on. He was brutal with him. He called him a country bumpkin without manners. He was just horrible. He made his life a living hell. To the point that Asano drew his sword in the main hall. And he attacked Kira. Kira only suffered a small wound on his head, but shogun law was strict and it forbade anyone from drawing the sword within Edo Castle. That was the law. There's no comeback from this. He's drawn his sword in the shogun's court. The punishment for that is death. Mental, because he only you know, gently cut him, really. The, you know, Kira had no real injuries, but Asano was ordered to commit seppuku. So for those of you who don't know what that is, in Japan, if you are a warrior class, you have the ability to commit seppuku if you're sentenced to death. Because you are of that class, you don't have to lose your life at the hands of another. You have the ability to take it yourself. It is a brutal practice. They basically, for anyone who doesn't know, they kneel down, draw their sword, and slice their stomach open. It's a disembowelment, but they do it themselves. I don't really understand why, because in the Christian faith and the way we're brought up, suicide is like the coward's way out. It's not the way to die. It's the wrong thing to do. But in Japan, it was taking control of your own life and not allowing somebody else to take your life. It was considered an honorable warrior's death. However, after Asano's death, the shogunate, so the government, they confiscated his domain, his entire village, everything. They confiscated it. It left his family impoverished, and his samurai were reduced to the status of ronin, which means a roaming samurai, basically. Someone who's trained as a samurai but has no master. Problem is, if you have no master in Japan, it's impossible to get a job as another samurai. You can't just go to another master and become their samurai. Originally, samurais were expected to follow their master into death rather than face dishonor of becoming a masterless samurai. 47 of Asano's 320 warriors decided to remain alive and seek revenge. That's very important there. He had 320 samurai, and only 47 didn't kill themselves. They decided to stay alive. They were actually led by a man named Oshi Yoshio, and the 47 ronin swore a secret oath to kill Kira at any cost. Fearful of such an event, Kira fortified his home and posted a large amount of guards. The Akko ronin bided their time, waiting for Kira's vigilance to relax. Now, that sounds a bit crazy, but the thing in Japan is vendettas were legal. You were allowed to avenge the death of someone legally. Now, in this particular instance, Kira is aware that some of the samurai have decided not to kill themselves, and he is fearful that they're going to hatch a plan. And he does everything he can to make sure this doesn't happen, essentially. So they have to bide their time. Now, to put him off his guard, so to make Kira think, well, actually, these ronin are just, they're not trying to kill me, they've just given up, you know, and there's no vendetta coming after me. These guys just, they're too scared to kill themselves and they've given up. They took on different jobs. They took on jobs as merchants, labourers, fishermen. One of them married into the family that built Kira's mansion, so that he could have access to the blueprints. He literally married into the family just for that. Oishi himself, he actually began to drink. He was married. He split from his wife and children. He divorced them, and it was his way of protecting them. But obviously, he divorced them, then decided to go and spend all his money on drink and on prostitutes. And basically did everything in a convincing way to prove that he'd fallen off the rails. And, you know, in the show, Japan at the time, there were spies everywhere. If you were hatching a plan and a spy caught it, you'd have been sentenced to death. So everything they did had to come across as believable. Everybody had to believe that what they were doing was legitimate. You know, they really had fallen off the rails. They really had given up. Oshi was actually lying in the streets one day, and someone mocked him, kicked him in the face. And this was just, but again, this was all an act. He probably was drunk, but they were doing it on purpose. They were doing it so that Kira believed that these guys were no threat whatsoever. Problem is, vendettas run deep. And as the snow settled down on the evening of December the 14th in 1702, the 47 Ronin met once more at Honjo near Edo, and they prepared for their attack. One young Ronin was assigned to go to Akko and tell their tale. So this left 46 to carry out their mission. Now, what's really important to remember here is, although these men were samurai, none of them had ever seen battle. The islands of Japan, or the country of Japan, had been at peace for 100 years. So even their parents hadn't seen battle. A samurai class is hereditary. So you're talking about these men being two generations away from the last samurai that ever saw, you know, real battle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That didn't stop them, and they still did everything the same way a samurai would do. They sharpened their blades, they got themselves dressed, they washed beforehand, they did everything in the same ritual that the men would have done 100 years before, before going into battle. The issue you may have here is, the story is about samurais. And one of the most striking thing about samurais, which I'm sure you'll all agree, is the armor. You know, the armor that samurais wear is probably the most famous and recognizable armor in the world. So these guys needed armor. You know, they were suiting up to go into battle. It was a battle. They didn't have armor. And you can't just walk into a local armory and order 46 or 47 suits of armor. It's gonna, you know, raise a few eyebrows. And like I said, there's spies everywhere in the court. So they had to make their own armor out of things they could find. But they still did a pretty good job. You know, they did everything the same. They put on the armor the same way they would have done if it was their own real armor. And most of their real armor had been lost or had been sold or disappeared throughout time, because you're talking 2 years after this had happened now. So it's not, they didn't keep it. And they were trying to prove that they'd given up that lifestyle, that they weren't samurais anymore. The 46 warriors that were left, now they actually warned Kira's neighbours that this was going to happen. And like I said, they were allowed to do what they were going to do because they claimed it was a vendetta. And a vendetta, like I said earlier, was legal in Japan. You could legally go and kill somebody who had killed someone in your family. That was law. However, it had to be approved by the shogun beforehand. Now, they basically told the neighbours that it was approved by the shogun and they didn't need to worry. You know, they're going to hear noises. They were going to hear swords and ladders and battering rams and things like that. But they didn't need to worry. They didn't need to call the police or, well, obviously you don't call the police in 1702, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. They didn't need to go and tell the authorities. It was a legal thing. Silently, some of the Ronin scaled the walls of Kiara's mansion and then overpowered and tied up the startled watchman. At the drummer's signal, the Ronin attacked from the front and the rear. Kira's samurai were caught asleep and now rushed out to fight, shoeless in the snow. The 47 Ronin cut them down. They were much more prepared. They came to battle with a lot of weapons as well. So, a samurai's main weapon is the katana, which I'm sure many of you are well aware of. Essentially, it's the greatest sword ever made. I don't think there is any sword that compares to it. But that's all that Kira's samurais were armed with. These samurais came with the swords, they came with axes, they came with spears, battering rams, bows and arrows. They were prepared for any situation. They were completely ready for it. Kira himself was actually only wearing his underwear at the time, and he legged it. He ran out of the house and he hid in a storage shed. The Ronin searched the house for over an hour and they couldn't find him. They'd killed and tied up anybody in sight. Anybody who'd fought against them was killed. Anybody who was, you know, cowering in a corner, they tied up and left them there. They found him about an hour later, cowering in the shed amongst heaps of coal. They recognized him pretty obviously because he had a scar on his head that was left by their master Asano. Oshi dropped to his knees and offered Kira the same way out that his master was offered. He actually gave him the same, it's called a wakizashi, which is a small sword. So they had the katana and the wakizashi, which is like a dagger, basically. And he said that this was the sword that my master used to commit seppuku, and I'm giving you the option, basically. You could either kill yourself now with this sword, or we'll do it for you. He soon realized that Kira didn't have the courage to kill himself honorably, so to speak. And he decided that he wasn't going to give him any more chances. He wasn't going to do it himself, so he took his own sword and Oshi cut his head off. He beheaded him there and then. The Ronin reassembled in the mansion's courtyard. All 46 were alive. They had killed as 40 of Kira's samurai and had only had 4 were injured. So they were all alive and only 4 of them were injured. You can say that's down to skill or just good preparation. But at daybreak, the Ronin walked through the town to the local temple where their lord was buried. And when I say walked through the town, they didn't just walk. They walked 5 miles in the snow in full battle gear with swords, carrying the head of Kira. the revenge story spread around quickly, real quickly. And Oshii rinsed the blood from Kira's head and presented it to Asano's grave. So not only did they kill him, they cut his head off, they carried his head 5 miles, poured the blood from his head, and placed his head on the grave of their master. And they handed themselves in to the authorities. They sat there and they waited to be arrested. They knew they were going to be arrested, and they didn't care. They'd done what they set out to do. They did everything that they were supposed to do, according to tradition, samurai tradition. And the story, like I said, it spread around so fast. I mean, it's now a legend in Japan, this story. They waited for their fate to be decided. Now, there was a possibility that they could be let off, because it could be technically classed as a vendetta. So they knew they were going to get arrested. They didn't necessarily know what the outcome would be. However, they were all willing to die. Now, when their fate was decided, the Ronin were divided into 4 groups. They were housed by the Daimyo families, the Hosokawa, Mari, Mizuno, and the Matsudaira family. The Ronin had become national heroes because of their adherence to the vendetta and their brave show of loyalty. Many people hoped that they would be given a pardon. Although the shogun himself was tempted to grant clemency, his counselors could not condone illegal actions. And on the 4th of February 1703, the Ronin were ordered to commit seppuku, a more honorable execution than what they could have had. At the last minute, hoping for a last minute reprieve, the 4 daimyos who had custody of the Ronin waited until nightfall. So they were told that they had to commit seppuku on the 4th of 1703. But the 4 families that I mentioned earlier that were housing these samurai, or these Ronin, they waited until midnight to see if there was a pardon coming. But there wasn't. So the 46 Ronin, including Oshii, the leader, and his 16-year-old son, committed seppuku. The Ronin were buried near their master at the temple in Tokyo. It's called the Senkuji, if I pronounce that right, Senkuji Temple in Tokyo. Their graves instantly became a site of pilgrimage for admiring Japanese, and one of the first people to visit was the samurai from Satsuma who had kicked Oshii in the street. He actually apologized to him and then killed himself as well. He didn't realize who he was. He just seen a man drunk in the street, kicked him, and he apologized and then killed himself. The fate of the 47th Ronin, the one who traveled to Edo to tell the story, is not entirely clear. Most sources say that when he returned from telling the tale at the Ronin's home of domain in Akko, the shogun pardoned him due to his youth, and he lived to a ripe old age where he was buried alongside the others. However, there's no real evidence to suggest that he could have been pardoned. He could have also been sentenced to death. No one really knows. To help calm public outrage over the sentence that was handed down, the shogun's government returned the title and 1/10 of Asano's lands to the eldest son. So, basically, everything that was taken off of him, some of it was given back. Because a lot of people in Japan, once hearing this story, they wanted... The Ronin were like... They were heroes, basically. They'd waited for the perfect opportunity to get their revenge. And they did it in the most Japanese way possible. They did everything by the book, and a lot of people wanted them pardoned. There was no pardon. They had to commit seppuku, and there was public outrage. People were not happy about this because they believed, because vendettas were legal, they believed these guys should have been pardoned. I think the weird, or the difference with this story, the weird part of this story is because he wasn't killed, because he'd only cut him with a sword, the vendetta was not necessarily correct, and he did draw his sword in the temple, or in the court, sorry, which you're not allowed to do. So it's a very strange story. I don't normally do this type of story, and the main reason, as you've probably noticed, my pronunciation of foreign words is atrocious. I'm much better at pronouncing the English words, but it's a fantastic story. It's a story that is still told in Japan today, you know, 300 years later. And it's a story of essentially just normal men. You know, I know they're samurai, I know they were warrior class, but these weren't princes and princes and princesses. They weren't high government officials. They weren't the shogun. They weren't even at the court. They were the local warriors to a man who lived in the country, who had, you know, he was a country bumpkin, basically. And they've gone down in history in Japan as some of the greatest Japanese samurai of all time. And that is the story of the 47 Ronin. So, very different story for you guys this week, like I said. And hopefully you have enjoyed it. I will be leaving you for a couple of weeks. This will be the last episode going out for a couple of weeks because I am off on a family holiday. And I will be back in September. So, and that's why I've made sure I got this one out before I go. So I hope you guys appreciate the dedication that I do. No, I don't mean that. But I do hope you've enjoyed the episode mainly. And that if you can do me a favour, whilst you're listening to this episode right now, hit that subscribe button. Wherever you're listening, whether it's Apple Music, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Spotify, hit the subscribe button. It's a free and easy way to help out the podcast. And like I say every week, join us on Facebook, This Week in History. You can message me on there and you get to play our weekly game, or bi-weekly game at the moment, because still struggling to get episodes out every week, where we post the picture of the episode before the episode comes out and you have a chance to guess what it is. It is quite fun. Most people do get involved, so yeah, come and join us on Facebook. See you there. And if you do want to support the show and you have a spare $5 a month, go over to Patreon, This Week in History. If you do have $5 spare, you can donate more, but we don't ask you to do any more than $5. Just click on Patreon, join us on there, and all the money goes to support the show. So thank you very much for all of you guys who are on Patreon. We love you. Thank you very much. And if you do want to join them, get yourselves over there. There's extra episodes there. And you also have the added advantage of any episode that goes out does go onto Patreon first. But like I say every week, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.